I've just realized that we talked about this on episode one, so I'm going to have to cut this entire thing.
Oh, oh you c-
Ask the Hosts, episode 19. I'm Joe, and it's just me for the intro. Don't worry, there'll be other hosts here soon. The idea of this show is very simple. You send in your questions to us at show@askthehosts.com, and we answer them. The catch is they can be about anything at all, except for Linux and open source. Before we get going, just a quick thank you to everyone who supports us with PayPal and Patreon. We really do appreciate that. You can learn more at askthehosts.com/support. And our patrons get these episodes 2 weeks before everyone else. So check it out. So we're going to have a couple of questions with Will, Popey, Andy, and Amaleth. And then we're going to have one at the end with Amaleth, Gary, and Graham. So the first question then. Mick asks, what's the most surprising thing about you?
I have three nipples.
That's not at all surprising.
You've alluded to this before, I think.
Oh, well, fuck. I can't say anything new now, can I?
No. Well, mine needs a bit of context. So I'm quite blokey, I think you would say. I like darts and football and drinking and stuff like that. But I also really like the music of musical theatre. I don't really like musical theatre, but I like the music of musical theatre.
I can confirm that is surprising.
What's your favourite?
Currently, it's not actually musical theatre, La La Land. The soundtrack of that is absolutely brilliant. And I think the reason that I like musical theatre music is that it's more complicated than pop music, but it's also quite catchy and you can sing along to it and stuff. Mm. But it's I particularly like it when there's a jazz influence in there as well. And just the arrangements and the instrumentation and everything, it's just great. I don't actually like sitting through musicals. I mean, they're all right, but the music of musical theatre is often amazing. And yeah, being someone who's into Mastodon and stuff, you wouldn't think I'd like it, but I like all music.
You're a complex guy.
I am.
I was reminded yesterday how much I like musicals. My girlfriend and I watched Sweeney Todd yesterday, which I saw a long time ago, but I loved it. And then I found a tracked list of a bunch of musicals. And I was like, oh, I've seen that. I love that one. I love that one. I love that one. Added a bunch of them to my watch list.
Sweeney Todd, that's the one with Borat in it.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Shut your mouth.
I loved it.
I took Claire to see Sweeney Todd in Belgium 6 or 7 years ago. And we went to this theater out in the middle of nowhere. And it was amazing. It was one of the best things I've ever seen live. And now I listen to the soundtrack of Sweeney Todd and it is amazing. You're right. It is great.
The only song I know from that is The Worst Pies in London. And that's become a bit of a meme in my household because it's just such a bad song.
The only musical that I can tolerate at all and actually really like is the Buffy musical episode.
Ah,
which is a classic.
What about the Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
If that counts as a musical, then I like that, yeah.
That is definitely a musical. They burst into spontaneous song. It's a musical.
Fair enough. I don't know what people think I'm like, so maybe I don't know whether people will find it surprising or not. I'm generally like obsessed with computers and not a very sporty person. And like my hobbies are all just like writing code, the same as what I do at work. But I really like watching American football. So some people find that surprising.
That I am a little bit surprised about, yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. The current Channel 5 coverage, which runs from like 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. on a Monday night, is really funny as well. The presenters are like really insulting to each other in really personal ways, and I find it really pleasing.
I'm a computer person as well, and I like writing code and don't really do very much practical, but I can solder plumbing very, very neatly and very, very well. I've never had anything leak on me yet, so I can install bathrooms, I can install kitchens. All of that sort of wet plumbing side of things I can do very well. I'm quite pleased. It's a good skill to have.
Wow, that's really useful.
You can do electrics as well, can't you?
Yeah, I can do electrics as well. I mean, I haven't got any qualifications, but nothing's caught fire yet.
That is in itself a qualification, practically.
Well, Amaleth, we know that you are a computer nerd. We know that you're a musician. So surely there's nothing left to surprise us with.
I don't know. I mess around with coffee every morning, using a few different brew methods based on what my girlfriend and I want that day. I tailor it to what friends want when they're over.
Coffee nerdery goes hand in hand with computer nerdery, though, I'm afraid. That's not surprising at all.
That's why I was reluctant to mention it.
Like, if he said that you really liked American football, that would be surprising.
I don't really care for sports in general. I do like martial arts. I miss doing martial arts. I did Taekwondo for 7 years and made it up to red belt and then stopped. When I broke, I've actually broken my right arm twice and my left arm once.
Wow.
And my right index finger across the, I guess, the second joint right here. And you can see that the finger is crooked as well.
Excellent for an audio podcast, Amleth. Well done.
I also used to do Taekwondo and I really enjoyed it and kind of miss it. But I would fear going back because I would be so terrible and I would injure myself so badly and be so ashamed.
Yeah, you get to a certain age and it's all about watching sport, yeah. Not taking part in sport.
I've only broken one bone in my body and that's my left arm. And at the time I was learning to write with my left hand so that I could, like, just in case I ever like broke my right arm, I would be able to write with my left arm when I broke my left one. And it was in at school and I was 13 years old and I turned to the guy next to me and said, this is how the SAS do it. And I ran and jumped over the horse thing and landed on my arm, broke it. And my mate Liam came up and said, you all right? I was like, no, I've broken my fucking arm. And it was like proper, like in an L shape, like arm on my wrist. And he goes, you better not be joking. I was like, look at it. Because I fucking broke it.
I've never broken any bones and I haven't got any fillings either yet.
Well,
touch wood.
That is also a surprising thing about you.
Mm. Yeah, not bad for nearly 50.
I lost a tooth to a pork scratching once. It was a pork scratching on the top of a pizza. It was like it had pulled pork and a pork scratching on the top of it. And I picked the pork scratching up and crunched it. And I just felt my tooth smash in half. And I was like, oh, bugger. So I had to continue eating the meal with half a tooth flapping around in my mouth. That was fun.
One of my back teeth is now more filling than tooth after a recent trip to the dentist and very sensitive.
I got one of them that quite early in my life just completely rotted away and all my other teeth, like I have other fillings, but all my other teeth are kind of normal and that one was just a failure from the beginning.
That is genuinely surprising that you've got no fillings at your age. Well, you must take really good care of your teeth. You must not be like some sort of American.
No, I have had teeth out. My wisdom teeth I had to have out and they had grown into two other teeth. So I had those out as well. But no fillings yet. I probably should go to the dentist.
Yeah, if you don't go to the dentist, you do tend to end up with no fillings.
Yeah, it's good that.
Well, I didn't go for 10 years once and then I went expecting to get a mouthful of fillings. And I said, no, all fine. See you in a year. I was like, nice. And then I started going every year. And now they give me fillings all the time.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
I
tell
also
you.
Did the same thing. And I have the same experience.
I have a friend who has not been to the dentist for probably 20 years, all the time I've known him. And he does his own dentistry and buys the stuff online and like fixes. He comes out in hives just talking about dentistry, and he won't even be in the same road as the dentist when he's dropping his kids off. He drops them off around the corner because he feels like that they'll come out and press gang him and drag him in there and sort his teeth out.
I feel like we need to insert some kind of public health announcement about how you should go to the dentist and it's good for you.
Acid asks, are there any alternate computer form factors you wish existed? No need to constrain yourselves to practicality. For me, it's pretty obvious. It's kind of like the VR headset type computing or the Google Glass, but with no headset. Somehow, I don't know, a brain interface or something so that I could have like a proper heads-up display, but without having to charge anything or wear ridiculous goggles and stuff like that.
When you said it's obvious, I thought you were going to say something guitar-shaped.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind a keytar. That would be pretty cool. That you could also, a smart keytar might make one.
I do quite a lot of my hobby coding on the train, and I have this amazing GPD Pocket laptop that is tiny that I love to do that with. But as I get older, my eyesight is failing, and the screen is quite small, and the keyboard is also quite small. So I think what I would really like is a lightweight pair of glasses that you can still see the world through, but gives you like an easy to focus on, decent sized screen that would interface with a proper real keyboard that I had on my lap, And then I could hack away happily without being scrunched over this tiny little device, not being able to see it properly.
That is exactly what I was thinking of.
But what if you didn't have to wear glasses? What if it was just, you know, you could just think, right, I want to have the code editor now, and it would just in front of you.
I would like you to stay out of my brain, please, Joe.
I want to be able to take them off and disconnect, like, easily.
And crush them under my heel.
I think I would like the thing that they have in Star Trek, the room you can go in where all the walls...
Holodeck.
The holodeck. I'd like that. I'd like a room where I don't have to wear any kind of glasses. I don't have to look at one flat screen or even a curved screen. I want every single surface in the room to be a display, and I want it to be infinitely configurable. So in this room, like, there's loads of crap, but every single surface should be possible to project onto, or light should come out of it, and I should be able to sit here and press a button or think it or whatever, and I'm now on a beach. Or think it and I'm now in the, I don't know, 15th century having adventures with someone, or, you know, something like that. I'd love to be able to just press a button and not be here, but not have to put on goggles to do that.
I certainly find VR really weird because you can't see the world, and that makes me really paranoid. So, like, the holodecks, it feels like a nice idea, like, because no one else is going to walk in on you and you won't see them, kind of thing. There are some physical things that are really nice, right? So, like, say, Rubik's Cube is a really nice object. I'd like to be able to manipulate computers instead of, like, finger on glass. I'd like to be able to twist things, press things, click things into place. That would be cool.
Bop it!
I'd like something without any kind of visual or touch interface at all. Just a bit like the Star Trek computer, where you ask it questions and you actually get useful answers back. So not like ChatGPT and not like Alexa and not like any of those sort of similar things, but one that actually works. I don't think we are very far away from getting something that is actually useful like that. But the more time I spend playing with those technologies, the more limiting they seem. But I think that within probably 10 years, we'll be at the point where you can ask a really complex, compound question referring back to something you mentioned last week, and it will all just know, and it will be able to give you a really straightforward answer. I think that will be quite enlightening.
Well, the other day I was driving, and I was listening to podcasts, and I was getting a bit bored. I thought, oh, I'll listen to that album that I like. So I said, hey, phone. It goes, but and I said, open VLC and play Hit Me Hard and Soft by Billie Eilish. I said, sorry, I don't understand. And that was the end of that. Mm-hmm. It's rubbish. If it can't even do that, like, what hope have we got for, you know, Star Trek?
I asked Siri, what is 1.6 quintillion divided by 800 billion or something? And it didn't know. Just couldn't do it. Like, it can do maths. So why doesn't it know the answer to that one? No reason.
Well, that's a bit random, but, you know, open VLC and play me an album is not exactly far-fetched, is it?
But that's a compound question, right? It needs to know what a VLC is, it needs to know where your files are stored, and it needs to know how to access them and which one you're looking for. Mine was just straightforward maths. Like, it should be possible to do today. At some point we'll get there, for sure, when you are happy to expose all of that metadata to some computer, as long as it can respect your privacy, then that sounds like a useful thing.
I think I would like, ultimately, something in the real world, not inside a screen, that works perfectly. And the thing that I would like is a printer that works perfectly.
You're dreaming,
keep
man.
Keep dreaming.
I used to quite like the thing on 24, that series with Jack Bauer, where he worked in, like, the terrorist detection team or whatever they were called. And someone would have something on their display and he would say, send it to my screen.
Yeah.
And they would, like, press a button and it would, like, swipe to someone else's screen. I love the idea of not having to zip a file up and send it to someone and then them open it. Oh, but for me to, like, click on a window and say, send that to someone, and it just go to them and it appear on their screen.
Now we've reached real fantasy land, right? Working printers and being able to send stuff to people without instantly putting it onto a USB stick.
Yes.
It's just not possible.
And it should just render on their screen without them asking. It should just appear on their screen.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it has great abuse vectors.
Well, actually, there was a program called XMove that let you move an X window from one X server to another. And you could send a window from one machine to another. And whenever this topic used to come up, we used to rib the maintainer of Xmove that they didn't continue developing it. And I'm sad that Xmove is no longer a thing, and Waymove, or whatever the Wayland equivalent would be, is not a thing either.
Did you know that in the first series of 24, they used KDE?
No, really?
Yep.
Well, that conversation's against the rules, so we have to stop it.
Oh, fuck.
Daryl asks, how free are you really? I assume you all live in free countries, but if you have to earn money and pay taxes, etc., are you really free? This is a pretty deep one, Daryl. And the answer is, don't think about it. It'll be fine.
Well, I'm going to go straight in with the philosophy and think that you have to be free in your mind. I think that's the real freedom. I mean, there's been periods of my life where I've had no money and what would look like absolutely no kind of opportunity to do other things, but I felt freer than now, for example, because I could do other things. It don't require money. You could read books and learn things. And I do think it's a state of mind.
Yeah, because Graham, you are fairly stable in your life now. You've got your family, you've got your career and all that. Like, if you wanted to buy a new MacBook, let's say, you would be basically free to do that. But you wouldn't be free to just not go to work for a month.
Yeah, and I have responsibilities that I just... You know, I used to be able to go camping by just throwing a few things in a rucksack and getting on a train and going. Now it takes like days of preparation, and I have to fill every single square cubic centimeter of the car and the roof box. And so I just don't do it anymore. So in lots of ways, when I had far less, I was a lot freer.
Yeah, I think it's that careful balance, isn't it, of freedom and responsibility. I can pretty much do anything I want within reason, but that has to be balanced with keeping the responsibilities I have managed. Like, I've got two kids now, and before I had two kids, if my wife and I wanted to go on holiday next week, we could. Whereas now, it takes a lot more planning. 6 years ago, before I met my wife, I was free to do whatever the hell I wanted at Christmas. If I wanted to sit at home and get drunk on my own, I could. Now I have to drive 11 hours to another country to spend Christmas with the in-laws. It's just a different level of free. Once I get there, I can kind of do what I want, and it's a time where I haven't got to work or think about anything. But there is a bunch of responsibility I have to uphold in order to do that. Likewise with work. 6-7 years ago, if I wanted to change job, if I got fed up, I could do that. Whereas now I'm the one paying the bills and keeping clothes on the kids' back and keeping food in the fridge and stuff. So yeah, it's a little bit of a different mindset, but I don't necessarily feel any less free. I just have to take care of the things I need to take care of in order to enjoy those same freedoms.
I think we choose to be bound by particular responsibilities, and we choose to live within particular structures because it might be the easy path, might be the path most well-trod so you can get advice from other people, that kind of stuff. And I think we can be completely free, but that's often really scary.
And I try not to be afraid of a change of circumstances. You know, if I was to lose my job for whatever reason, I would see that as an opportunity to give myself more options and probably reduce some of this complexity and clutter in my life. And I kind of, in some way, want that to happen.
Yeah, I'd love to not have to do all the things I do now.
Yeah, I sometimes think about what it would be like to just walk away from it all, go back to my old career, maybe. Not do this anymore, but then that would involve having to get up early and go outside. So I don't really want to do that. I'd rather just talk to you lot and sit in my little office and edit the shows and everything. And, you know, I am free now. I've got no kids. I could do whatever I want, really, but I don't take advantage of it, really. I suppose I'm free to do nothing, if that makes sense, and I take advantage of that. Maybe I'll regret it one day, not traveling the world and everything. Because, you know, all I need to do this job is an internet connection, a reasonably fast computer, and some sort of microphone. There's nothing really stopping me traveling the world to do this. But I just don't really want to. I like home comforts, and I like being in London and all the rest of it.
And I think that's really fine. I think we should be free to not feel bad about it, about all the things that none of us are doing. That's just another limitation we put on ourselves.
But I do think there is something to this question, though, that I don't think that anyone is truly free in the, like, philosophical sense, because yeah, you have to pay tax. You have to, you can't just go and live off the land. That's just not a realistic prospect.
You can.
Can you though?
Just dodge the people looking to collect.
Maybe if you live in a massive country like yours, Amleth, on a tiny island, that's very difficult.
Sure.
There's not much land to live off. But has anyone ever really been free in that sense? Because everyone's always had to make a living. Even before we were humans, even when we were some sort of other hominid, we still had to hunt and gather. And if we didn't do it, we'd die. I suppose the only thing we're really free to do is die. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a bit of a grim thought, but otherwise, nothing is truly free.
Well, we've kind of invented what free is. You know, we're free to redefine that.
In an Orwellian sense, yeah. Let's just redefine free to mean got to pay loads of tax all the time.
We're assuming there's an anthropomorphical shape to this answer. Well, maybe it's not. You know, maybe it's beyond our understanding. Maybe it's nothing to do with humans and our feelings of existence. And I haven't even had a drink.
Not even electrons are free, though, are they? No. They're bound by the nucleus.
What is it? Do we have to ascend to some hyper-universal state? I don't know.
We need to become pure energy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's really free.
And maybe not in this universe, you know, maybe straddling all the universes at once.
What the fuck was that?
They're apparently mowing outside.
Ah, oh, right, okay.
It's a bit of a depressing end. None of us are free. All we can do is die.